Yeah, and I think it was definitely a great point about how we could create some kinship and collaboration between students in the developed world using their voice to support those in the developing world. I think we've seen that in a few different scenarios. A great example is a program called Challenge 2020. I was inspired by Jean-François Richard's book, High Noon, that's connecting schools in the developed world with those in the developing world to work together on solving one of his 20 global problems. And we also tried to kind of put this into practice as we looked at developing the certification or standard for what a future-friendly school looks like. Rather than pretend that we knew everything, we actually crowdsourced the indicators for how you might measure something like that. And we had over 4,000 participants around the world put on and suggest indicators. So as governments, as policymakers look to actually decide on some of these policies, select the programs that they invest in, you know, looking at more innovative approaches to engaging students and all stakeholders in participating. I think often even in the classroom, teachers feel unheard in some of these policy conversations. So how can we leverage these latest technologies to really drive new levels of citizen participation? And I think we've seen several great examples of students in developed world countries working to hold their governments accountable for the pledges they've made to some of the international cooperation and international aid commitments, like the 0.7 pledge here in Canada, that actually would hopefully provide the resources necessary to drive at the access to education conversation. So I think we need to do more to kind of empower and inspire that sense of civic participation and leadership. We've seen lots of it around the world, supported by and inspired by social networking, and I think we'll see more of it as we support this new role of students as leaders in the classroom.